our Heavenly Lord, our God and our King. It is a great joy, Lord, to be found standing in your presence even this morning. We are thankful, Lord, as we come to our last service of the Thanksgiving month of November. Precious God, we have seen your gracious hand. We have seen your marvelous work in our lives. So we say, be praised, be magnified, be glorified, our God, in the midst of this church. Speak to us this morning also as we come to hear your word coming direct from you, our God. May we sit and listen with reverence and fear. May we honor you, our God, in our worship this morning as we're listening to your word. Precious God, speak to us. Speak, O God, until your church is filled with your glory. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
Amen.
Indeed, a great joy for us to stand before the Lord this morning and just to worship and praise Him as we have seen the wonderful work that our God does in the midst of this church. There's so many things that God is doing and is continuing to do. So in your private time where you get an opportunity to pray, remember to pray for us. Remember to pray for the church and thank the Lord, especially for the wonderful work that He's doing and the preaching of the gospel, that it may sink in the hearts of men. I am told of a story of an unruly, disrespectful young man who was sitting at a dinner table, and the table was dressed with a lot of food before him. The young man thought he would display his own importance by criticizing the food and criticizing the chef. Now, there was also a minister sitting also at that table, and the minister, hearing such bad remarks on the food and on the cook from this young man, he reproved the young man, of course, for his ingratitude. But that minister was rudely ignored. The young man just continued with his silly complaints. The food here is bad. It is tasteless. The chicken is dry. The butter is salty. The peanut butter has got peanuts in it. The fish is full of bones. The bread is not a low GI bread. There is only oats and no Rice Krispies on the table. The coffee is not that rich. Fire the chef. My grandmother can make better scones than this. Well, the minister was so disgusted, and he turned away and walked outside. And outside there, he noticed an old man sitting, wearing a coat and a blue hat. This man was sitting next to a street pole under some few drops of rain, untidy dressed, wearing an old broken pair of shoes. And then he took from his pocket a piece of bread, and from another pocket a piece of old cheese. And then laying that before him down there, the man took this blue hat and also threw it on the ground. And he knelt on the ground there. He clasped his hands together, and then he began to give praise and honor to God for His merciful provision, that He has given him bread that day. The question is, are you a thankful person, my friend? Do you know that ingratitude is actually a grievous sin before God? Have you realized that we are constantly growing as a people? We are growing to a non-praising, unthankful attitude. We complain whether things are right and whether things are wrong. Even in great prosperity, people complain. Can you imagine then those people who are not in great prosperity? People in poverty, what should they do if people in prosperity, they complain? So with that in your mind, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. And the title of this message, A Thankful Soul. And we read together then from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 103, A Thankful Soul. And I will read the Word of God from the ESV this morning. It reads as follows, if you have it. Those who follow the ESV like mine, is page 502. It's a psalm of David, It reads as follows: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We'll stop there for this morning in verse number 5. And may the good Lord then add a blessing to the reading of his word. Friends, there is a great possibility that we are just like that young man this morning, looking down on others, not appreciating what God has already done and what God is doing in your life. You have forgotten already the Lord, that he has blessed you and seated you at a table. Perhaps you have forgotten that in everything you need or you must give thanks to the Lord. You must have a positive response to the goodness of God. That is what we are called to have a positive response to the goodness of God. Speaking to yourself about the goodness of God, directly commanding yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul. Such words, indeed, should not come when we do not have trouble in our lives, when we do not have challenges in our lives. David himself can tell you of those days where he thought God has forsaken him, when he thought God has left him. In other words, he looked back and looked at his trouble. Then he realized that something was missing in his life. Then he thought that God has forsaken him. His own son hunted him like an animal. His own son took his wives to despise him. One of his other sons forced himself to his own sister. Because of David's sin, evil haunted his house. He spent sunny days and rainy nights in the wilderness like an animal. He had to pretend at a given time, he had to pretend to be like a person who is insane, just to protect his life from his enemies. His father-in-law came after him. He was looking for his blood. But regardless of all the challenges in his life, he says in this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. Give thanks to God, my inner being, my heart, glorify the Lord. Let the effect of the goodness of God consume my inner being. Let it consume my faculties. Regardless of situations and challenges in my life and personal feelings, regardless of my ups and downs, regardless of my lack and my want, my heart, know this, God does not change. Adore him, uphold him, and keep him dear to you, O my soul. He says, all that is within me. In other words, unless my soul is the one which blesses the Lord, unless my soul is in my praise, then my words are nothing. My sacrifice and my offerings are nothing. If my soul is not the one which blesses the Lord, I will not draw near to God with my mouth. And if my soul is far from God, I will not draw near to him with my lips, unless it is my heart that is close to God. My soul, behold God. Behold not another. Worship and praise him. Tell out my soul the goodness of the Lord. My lips and my mouth, my voice and my tongue shall gush out the thanksgiving unto the Lord, and give him all the adorations that he deserves. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Have you looked at God in that way, my friends? Surely that should immediately tell us that our thanksgiving does not and should never depend on our feelings and our opportunities before us. So regardless of what I'm going through right now in my life, regardless of what is happening at a particular or a certain given time, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let the meditation of my inner being be focused unto the Lord and his goodness. He says, forget not his benefit. The question is, Do we forget His benefit? Yes, the answer is yes. We do forget the Lord's benefit. As you sin from time to time, you're looking down on the benefit of the cross. Christ was nailed at the cross for your sin, so that whosoever is in Him may not continue in sin. So we do forget His benefits. As we continue to be unkind, to be impatient with one another, as we continue not to be gentle, have no self-control, we have forgotten the benefit of the Spirit of God. But maybe you are a drunk or a sexual immoral person. Maybe you are impure. Maybe you are an idolater. Maybe you are practicing witchcraft. Maybe you are a fornicator. Let me tell you something, my friend. You have not forgotten the benefit of the Lord. We have not yet seen the Lord. We are not saved. It is different. So you need to turn to God. You need to turn to Jesus and turning away from the idols of your heart and trust in Him for His saving grace. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Forget not His benefit." The question is why? And I am glad you have asked. The question is why? And I'm going to give you four reasons why you should be, as a church, you should be, as individual, a thankful soul. The first reason is that there is cleansing of sin. The cleansing of sin. The psalmist presents to us here a forgiving God. We look at verse number 3. He says, "He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all your wickedness. He forgives all your unrighteousness, that which has separated you from God. He forgives all your sins. He rolled away all the burden of my heart," says the psalmist. David speaks here as someone with experience. He knows the Lord that he carried because of sin. If you read Psalm 32, you will feel the burden and the load of David because of sin. After he sinned with Bathsheba and killed Bathsheba's husband. You can read what it says. Let me read for you at least verse 3 and verse 4 of Psalm 32. Just hear what David feels because of sin. I don't know if the Spirit of God within you objects sin and make you feel this way that I'm going to read to you here this morning from David. Psalm 32. I'm going to read verses 3 and at least verse maybe 4. He says, "For when I kept silent, my bone wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." You can feel it after he has sinned. He says, "I felt the heavy hand of God upon me." He was oppressed. He was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. But he says, "Yeah, I am free. I am free. I am forgiven. I feel the peace within my soul. God has reconciled me to Himself. I was once His enemy. Now I am counted His friend. Now I sit before Him, before my enemies. I sit with Him at the table. I was once lost. Now I am found. I was once blind, but now I can see." He forgives all my iniquities. He forgives all your iniquities. In other words, there is nothing that is unable to forgive. The Bible says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." We all have heard of this verse. The question is, how can you be washed white as snow? Snow is white. What does it mean? I'll be washed as snow. It means when I'm forgiven my sin, I'll be able to, by the forgiveness of sin, I can now stand before the true and holy God. I can now stand before Him. I'll be white as snow. Just as Psalm 15 says, "Lord, Who shall sojourn to your temple? Who shall take a journey to your tabernacle, O God? What is the answer? Let's read in verse number 2, Psalm 15. Who shall dwell on your holy hill, my God? He says, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. Lord, who shall sojourn in your temple? One who is blameless before you, oh my God. That is what it means, you shall be white as snow. So the wonderful God who owes us nothing, God is owing us nothing, but he who owes us nothing, he who should be actually destroying us for turning against him, the one who should be destroying us for rebelling against him, now comes and cleanses us from our sins, forgiving us all our sins, removes all our iniquities, not some, but all of our iniquities. The sins of the past, the sins of the present, the sins of the future. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 22, listen what the Bible says, listen what God says, what it takes to forgive man's sin. Then you can see the weight of our sin. He says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. My friend, I don't know what picture fills your mind, what picture fills your heart as you hear these words. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now God here, in verse number 3, he uses the pen of the psalmist to point to us, to emphasize the point, to point to us the horrible condition of sin. In verse 3, we see the horrible condition of sin. He says, God heals all your diseases. Think of a disease. Think how terrible Ebola is as we hear of it. Think how terrible maybe HIV, AIDS, whatever sin it may be, cholera, whatever it may be, cancer, think how horrible that is when it attacks the body. And look at it as far as sin is concerned. Think of that as your sin inside you. But it says God forgives all your sins. So now God here in verse number 3, he brings an emphasis. How horrible, how deep, how wide. Because sin has sickened the heart and corrupted it completely. He just turned the heart to be desperately sick and complicated. He just turned the heart to being destitute of the grace of God. It is now unable to avoid any corruption and any lust in this world. But it can only indulge in sin and never be satisfied. That is the heart of man. But bless the Lord, O my soul, for you forgive all my sins, all my iniquity. Though the heart continues to be weak and inconsistent, the psalmist says it needs God's healing through the forgiveness of sin, by the shedding of the blood, the precious blood of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in this verse the connection between forgiveness of sin and the healing of diseases. I remember how Jesus demonstrated in his ministry. He demonstrated the very same thing in his ministry. When people will come to him with their sickness of the body, he will heal their sin. He will forgive them. Because Jesus knew that what is most important is the healing of the soul. The taking away of sin, the taking away of corruption, the removal of guilt. So he forgave people when they came to him, even when they wanted to be healed in the body. And for him to emphasize the importance and to show us his ministry, why he came on earth, then he walked up the hill of Calvary, carrying upon himself willingly that heavy Roman cross, a cross of suffering and all shame, so that he may take away all our sin. My friends, if you think of that, we as the church, we as individual, if you have been born of God, you can say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. For Christ forgives all of my sin. Not a little bit, but all. Washes me white as snow. He heals your diseases. Something which keeps you down. A disease is something that oppresses and presses people down. And people are not able to rise. And they are down there. That is sin. And in a form of sickness, that picture that we see. But the Bible says, He forgives you all your sin. That's something which keeps you down and disables you to perform your duties. It makes you weak. It makes you become vulnerable. That is sin. And it gives you more potential to sin. But the psalmist says, the Lord has taken away all that weakness from me. And He has given me new strength and ability. What ability? The ability to give Him thanksgiving. The ability to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. So that I may see the goodness of God. He says now, I know and I believe that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Have you come to death, my friend? To see that your chief end, what you are created for, is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. That is what the psalmist says. In other words, God is the physician of the soul. Nothing but God can forgive your sins and heal all of your iniquities and heal all of your diseases. The question is, have you given thanks to God on that blessing? The blessing of the cleansing of sin. Have you given God? Thanks God, we have cleansed all my sin. Or else, maybe I should ask this question in this way. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you actually experienced this cleansing of sin? So that you may shout like this, psalmist, and says, bless the Lord, He cleansed all my sin, heal all my diseases. If so, you have a reason to bless the Lord with your soul. The second reason to be a thankful soul, it is because you are spared from the wrath to come. You are spared from the wrath to come. Verse 4. He who redeems your life from a pit. Someone redeems your life from a pit. God has rescued you from Himself. You see, when you come to God, God does not rescue you from the devil. When you are being saved, you are not being snatched because somehow you will die and go to hell and the devil will be waiting for you there to turn you upside down with his fork. No. You are being saved from the wrath of God. Your enemy is God, not the devil. The devil becomes your enemy when you have been born of God, because now he hunts after you. But when you are not born of God, you follow him by choice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because he spared you from the wrath to come, from the jaws of hell. But God has snatched us from that pit of darkness. The psalmist says, here, he gives us a picture here of a soul that was already going to a pit. He says, he redeems my soul from a pit. So, my soul was already on its journey to a pit. But somebody saw that my soul is going to a pit and someone came and rescued me from that pit. He didn't close the pit. He rescued me from the pit. The Lord came in and restored my soul unto life. And now my soul is able to look unto God in a different way. Not as an enemy, but as God's friends. Looking at Him as a life-giving God. Though the wages of sin is death, but His gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He who suffered the wrath of God on the behalf of sinners who hated Him the most. Crying, crucify Him, crucify Him. Another song says, oh, to see my sins written on His wounds. Christ on the cross of Calvary. When you look at His side, you see that spear going on His side. Know that If you were there, you would have done the same. But God, owing you nothing, He redeems you from the jaws of hell. Allow me to drink water. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 gives us the picture. We see the picture in Mark 10, verse 45, what it means for us to be snatched from the jaws of hell. I thought you will open, but since you didn't open, it reads as follows. He came to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give His life a ransom for many. And that being the clearest and most magnificent expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You can see, if the Bible says that, then you can see that was the ministry of Jesus Christ, to come and give His life a ransom for many. We get here the idea that we are spared from the wrath of God because Jesus gave His life for many. Not because you have done something, not because you have raised your hand, not because you have said a prayer, but because Christ has given His life, all the life of Christ, all that we may glorify Him for His life. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. And all were like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Just imagine, we were all going astray like a sheep without a shepherd. Instead of going and falling to a pit, God sent His Son and laid upon Him the iniquities of us all. My friends, it is revealed here in this psalm by this psalmist that there is hell. There is a pit. He speaks of a pit here in verse 4. Where many shall fall, those who refuse to come to Christ. There is a pit, that dark and horrible place. A place where there is grinding and snatching of teeth, where the worm dieth not. A place of utter darkness. A place of sorrow and pain. Though the psalmist reveals that there is hell, he also reveals that there is a way out of this hell. He says the Lord redeems us from the pit. This is not a picture. If we say the Lord redeems us from the pit, it is not a picture of someone seeing you sinking and drowning at the sea and he throws a rope and say, catch, I will pull you. No, my friend. This is a picture of someone seeing you drowning and he dives into the deepest parts of the sea and he takes you out. He takes this stranger. He takes this enemy out. That is the picture that we have here. He didn't have to, but He did. That is the cross of Christ, the cross of suffering, turning sinners into saints, making the weak strong, making His enemies His friends. And that is why, my friend, you need to be sensitive to the weight of your sin and see yourself in the state of damnation for your sin. You need to see yourself lost before you can see yourself found. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, said the Bible. Turn to Him in faith and repent from your sins and be united with Him. Seek the Lord while He may still be found. Call upon Him while He is still near. So I give the Lord thanks. I bring thanksgiving to Him because Christ has drunk my hell. He has died the death that I should have died, but the death I could not die. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of His grace. Jesus, the name that is our fear, the name that beats our sorrows, cease. So we need to lift up your eyes and look at the cross. See all your sins laid upon Him there, as He takes away your hell and gives you His paradise. Just imagine, what an exchange. Taking away your hell
giving you his paradise. He redeems you from the pit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The third reason why you should be a thankful soul, it is because you are crowned with everlasting life. You are crowned with steadfast love. It's also in verse number 4. Let us read again. He redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He crowns with steadfast love and mercy. When he speaks of mercy, brothers and sisters, he speaks of God's providence towards suffering. When he speaks of grace, he speaks of God's providence for sin. He says he crowns you with steadfast love. This again reminds us of the Father who loves the world and gave with his only Son, so that whosoever believes might not perish but have eternal life. It reminds us of the Father who loves us unconditionally and decided to come and die on our stead. The Father who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, who will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever, who does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens above, so great is his steadfast love for us, especially towards those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far he removes our transgression from us. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Even though he remembers that we are dust, he still clothes us with love. Even though he remembers that we are sinful, he still clothes us with love. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you remember this, the psalmist speaks to himself. Remember, the psalmist is not commanding someone. He's commanding himself. He speaks to his inner being. Bless the Lord, my soul. If I remember this thing, I speak to my soul, says the psalmist. If I remember these wonderful works of God, bless the Lord, O my soul. He crowns you with steadfast love. That's what he does. So in other words, we are given dignity. A crown is a symbol of dignity. Listen to me very carefully. He crowns you with steadfast love. Dignity is given unto you. He puts some kind of respect and honor upon you, which is a foretaste then of that crown of glory which we shall wear in glory when he returns. You've got a crown of love upon your head. Remember, he was crowned with the crown of thorns. Jesus was crowned with the crown of thorns. He was stripped almost naked, bruised and beaten. And finally nailed to that cross, the cross of wood, for the glory of the Father. All that was for the glory of God. Why? Because the Father so loved the world that he gave with his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish. Tell me, my friend. Tell me. Raise your hand. Tell me you don't see love in that. That the Father sent his Son to drink your hair, to be crowned with a thorn, with a crown of thorns, so that you may be crowned with steadfast love. So the psalmist, my friends, he writes here because he has seen the love of God in his life. He knows that it is impossible for a sinful and depraved and a corrupt sinner like him to be called a man after God's own heart. It is impossible, but it is because of love. It is because of the mercy of God. It is because of forgiveness. It is because of redemption. It is also because of the same love that you are called his children. And indeed, you are his child. So God gives or he restores dignity to his children. Let me put it this way again. Young lady, do not allow anyone to play games with you. God has crowned you with dignity. Young man, do not allow anyone to lead you astray. God has crowned you with dignity. His love upon you. He looks after you from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. He does not lose focus on his children. Regardless of the situation, he is the God of love. Tell it to your soul. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul. You have found favor with God. You are exalted to a higher level of dignity. The fourth reason why you should be a thankful soul, it is because you have found satisfaction in Him. Verse number 5. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. So you have found satisfaction in Jesus, or you have found satisfaction in God. So the psalmist now speaks of God who is our complete satisfaction. He points us to someone who needs to satisfy us. He tells his soul, he says, this God provides for you. This God satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives you what you need. He feeds you with the truth of His word. He gives you comfort to help you carry on. He provides for your daily needs. He provides you with clothing. He provides you with shelter. He provides you with everything that you need. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So show some appreciation, oh my soul, to this God who goes out His way to give something to you. Something that you don't deserve. So use everything for the glory of Christ. My friends, this doesn't mean that when you come to God, you have everything that you want. No, you have everything that you need. You have the remission of sin. You have the rescue from the wrath of God. You have the everlasting, steadfast love of God. Your youth is renewed like that of an eagle. I am told that an eagle lives for long. They say an eagle can live over 100 years. So now, if it says your youth is renewed, you renewed as that of an eagle, it speaks something far beyond our understanding. Because we know that in this world, we will not live for long. But it tells us, Bazalwane, that when we die, that's when we begin to live. So just as the eagle's feathers are replenished all every year. So what happens to an eagle is that every year it loses its feathers, so it cannot fly. But each and every year when it loses its feathers, the feathers begin to grow again. Just as the feathers begin to grow again, so in the same way, God fills you with His love. God fills you with His steadfast love and truth every day, so that you may have strength and the ability to praise His holy name, so that you may be able to stand each and every morning, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So God is working in us, Bazalwane, day by day, satisfying you with goodness, giving you His favor, His righteousness. He's also patience towards your habits, your sinful habits. Think about them. Think of your sinful habits. Just imagine those things that you do in the private time, wherever you are alone, the things that you think of, those sinful habits. God is patient with you. You want to know which ones are the sinful habits? Wherever you do something, ask yourself, should Jesus come now as I'm doing this? Will He be happy with me? Then you know. But God is patient with us. So, the psalmist blesses the Lord for finding satisfaction in the Lord. So, in other words, there is nothing in the world that is able to satisfy this psalmist. Wealth could not satisfy him. Success could not satisfy him. Relationship and intimacy could not satisfy him. The throne and the palace could not satisfy him. The world only gave him grief. But it says, in the Lord I found my satisfaction. Friends, hear how satisfaction looks like. You want to know how satisfaction looks like? You open Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Do you hear this man? He claims to be satisfied by going to the house of the Lord. Not to go to the house of the Lord to chew a gum, actually a chewless gum, when we worship God. No! He says, I don't find satisfaction in that. I find satisfaction to inquire in the Lord of His goodness, to gaze upon His beauty. In other words, to focus on the goodness of God. Thus, coming to the house of God
satisfy you?
That is my question, and I leave it with you. Please answer it. Maybe the question I should ask, have you found that satisfaction in Christ? Has it dealt with your sin yet? The essence of your problem. Because you might think you've got problems. The essence of those problems, the basis of those problems is sin. Has it dealt with sin yet in your life? Has it granted you the forgiveness of sin? The essence of His provision. The essence of His redemption. Because unless that forgiveness of sin has been granted to you, your sin remains and remains forever. And the pit stands also forever. The Bible says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Only in Christ we've got the forgiveness of our sin. We have redemption through His blood and the riches of His grace. So church, it is very important for us. It is very important that each and every one of you begins to look deep within his own heart and ask this very important question. Am I a thankful soul? Do I appreciate God's goodness in my life? Do I appreciate those whom God has given, whom God has provided to be helpful in my life? Do I have this love of God in my own heart? Do I give God honor and adoration enough for His mercy and for His grace? So we learn from this psalmist, my friend. In short, thanksgiving actually calls for the entire being of the Christian. Thanksgiving doesn't call you to pop out your money to show that you're giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving doesn't call you to kneel down and pray only to show that you're giving thanks to God. It calls for the entire being. It says, all that is within me, bless His holy name. And towards the end of the psalm, he calls to the angels and the creation. He says, you created order and angels. Bless the Lord as well. Everything that has breath, let it praise our God. Why? Simply because there is something marvelous that the Lord has done. There is something reflecting as God's work within your soul. The question is, will that now shape you to be a thankful soul? If there's something that God has done in your life, does that shape you or lead you to be a thankful soul? Will you sing or say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, that all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not His benefit. He who heals all your diseases, He who satisfies your life with good and redeems you from the pits. Let us be a thankful soul. Unlike that young man, but like that old man. May the good God bless us all as we stand and I pray. Amen. Father, Lord, forgiving God. Oh God, who crowns us with steadfast love. God, who redeems our lives from the pit. God, who forgives all our iniquities. God, Almighty, Most High God, we thank you this morning for reminding us to be a thankful soul. Looking at this psalm from this psalmist, regardless of situations, regardless of what is happening, oh God, may we be thankful to you for the things we have done in the past, the things you continue to do this day, the things that you are still to do. We thank you for family. We thank you for our children. We thank you for work, those who are working. We also thank you for your provision to those who are not working, but you are still giving them something to eat, oh God. Father, Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, because all else shall follow. Bless your children, O God. Encourage us to be thankful. Show us our faults. Show us our sin. Give us Christ day by day, that we may turn and come to Him in faith and be cleansed. I ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
Amen.
Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. May we all say amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord look after you, keep you until we meet again.
Thank you.